You might be asking yourself, why is the title of the episode What Happened to BLM? I mean, by all intents and purposes, they are still technically around. They're still an organization. Yeah, Patrice Cullors was buying mansions in predominantly white neighborhoods. She got exposed by Candace Owens. She's run into hiding. But the organization very much is still alive. Or are they? Some of you may actually look at the title and say, the title of this episode is perfect. Where is BLM? What happened to them? Because they have been extremely quiet. We haven't heard much from them recently. We haven't seen them burning down buildings and encouraging the destruction of the nuclear family. Either way, something has happened to BLM over the last couple years since, you know, the situation that happened with George Floyd. We have seen a silence from an organization. Or excuse me, we've heard a silence. We've seen nothing, okay? We've seen nothing from this organization. We've heard silence from an organization that, in many ways, changed the course of this country for the worse. So what happened to BLM? Let's talk about it. This is the Pierre Wilson Show. BLM experienced a 88% drop in donations in 2022. 88%. That's according to Fox News. Listen, that only tells one part of the story, though. I mean, that's a huge piece of the story. To experience such a significant drop in donations is huge. But to me, the bigger story is the cultural impact. What happened to them? Where is the impact? We were seeing Black Lives Matter everywhere. I mean, every street was getting painted with it by every mayor who wanted to pander. I mean, you were seeing it all in music videos. You couldn't turn on the radio without radio hosts talking about it. TV shows were incorporating it. I mean, you couldn't miss the riots. I mean, they were happening all over the place. The culture has changed. Black Lives Matter is now no longer a central focal point when it comes to the culture. Now, I am not in any way saying that I miss it. I want to be clear here. There is probably no one happier than me that I am not seeing so much of it everywhere. I'm not celebrating a lot, though, because when you turn on the TV, you still see all kinds of things being pushed down your throat left and right that have nothing to do with on TV shows. You can't turn the radio still without hearing someone cry victimhood, or you can't go anywhere without seeing LGBTQ stuff shoved in your face like you see in Target now. I mean, I'm not in any way saying that the culture is fixed, but I am saying that Black Lives Matter, or BLM for short, doesn't seem to be as prevalent right now as they were just a few short years ago. You may be asking yourself why, for those out there who have also noticed this. Yeah, there's the obvious theory that they only come around in election cycles. And quite frankly, that's actually a really good theory. I mean, if you look at a lot of their, the years where they've made some of the biggest impacts, it seems to always be conveniently placed around an election cycle, which is why a lot of people believe that they're armed for the Democrats. I mean, look, that's not far-fetched at all. Not far-fetched, not even a little bit, that BLM has somehow contributed to the success of the Democrats. Democrats are certainly, if they're not working together with BLM, they've certainly used BLM in their speeches and everything else for their political gain. They have closely aligned themselves with the BLM movement, but then they turned around and didn't even invite BLM to the White House for a while. Did that ever change, by the way? Does anyone know? Hit me up and let me know. Did that change? Because last time I checked, Patrice Cullors and the BLM leadership team was really trying to get into the White House, and Biden was having none of it. None of it, which was hilarious because Biden used BLM on his way to the White House with Kamala Harris. Let's not forget that the whole reason Kamala Harris was even picked was like a it was a way to send BLM a message. Hey, I'm on your side. We're in this together. And then they get to the White House and then BLM couldn't get an invite. Hilarious. Hilarious. So, you know, let's not forget that the Democrats have used BLM. But again, more importantly, where's BLM? And the next question is, are they on their way back? Pierre, why are they on their way back? Well, smart person who's asking me that question, we have an election coming up in 2024. So which death, and you know what, I'm going to be very blunt, which black person that dies in the next year or so is BLM going to frame and make into a martyr? And what stores are they looking forward to looting this time around? I mean, I'm sure they are already mapping this out. Mapping out, as soon as we get that perfect black person that dies, we're going to burn down here, 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 here. Mark your spots, everybody. It sounds crazy, but it's not that crazy. Destruction, chaos. That's what they want. That's what they want. They want destruction. They want chaos. And that's exactly what they're going to do if they decide to make this comeback. Now, here's the reason why, here's the argument against them making, why they probably won't make a comeback. I'm going to make two arguments. One being why they will not probably make a comeback, and then the other being why they probably will. Let's talk about the one about why they will not probably come back. Their chapters and a lot of the people within the movement, the ones who were actually, I guess, who actually believed in the cause, if you will, they rebelled against the leadership. And when I say leadership, I mean the founders, Patrice Cullors and the other ones that I don't care to know their names. I'm pretty sure I've seen their names. I remember they did that interview to three, it was three women or whatever. I really don't frankly care about any of them. So only reason I know Patrice Cullors' names, and I remember that, I waste space in my brain to remember that, is because she was the biggest clown of them all. Okay, biggest clown of them all, full-blown circus there. But the founders of Black Lives Matter, the ones who wanted the destruction of the family unit, right? They wanted the destruction of the nuclear family. The chapters and the grassroots and all the people rebelled against them because they were like, they're not getting the support on the ground. They're not getting any, apparently they weren't even, they didn't have a budget for their chapters. Their chapters couldn't put on any actual events, so they were literally not supporting their chapters at all, not even a little bit. And then later, obviously, it came out that Patrice Cullors she wasn't supporting her chapter. She was buying mansions. She couldn't wait to get out of her black neighborhoods and get into the white ones. She was like, "You guys burn that down." I'm not a custom person, so we're gonna put a bleep. Burn that bleep down. And then, and meanwhile, she's like, "Yes, I'm happy to close in this home." In her neighborhood, where it's like 0.05% black. What was the number? It's something extremely low. Yes, please give me my keys. Give me my keys. I'm ready to move in. My boxes are already packed at my other house. I'm ready to get out of the hood. Get me into this white neighborhood. That's Patrice Cullors. Meanwhile, her chapter's out there hot, sweaty, burnt. Broken into all kinds of stores. I was going to say facing charges, but we all know BLM can do whatever they want, right? You don't face charges unless you're a January 6th person, right? That's how our justice system works. But anyway, getting back on track, BLM out there putting in the work, fighting hard to make sure that they advance the cause of the movement because it's so special and so important, right? I mean, Patrice Cullors is buying houses and paying her. Who was she paying? Her brother-in-law, and she had her whole family on payroll. She had everybody on payroll. Patrice Cullors was raking in the money. Okay, so I don't know that she's going to have the same grassroots support or the organization in general, because I know she stepped down. I don't know if BLM at the top is going to have the same grassroots support. Who's going to want to go out there and fight for an organization and stand on the values and the principles of an organization when they've been exposed? I wouldn't. I sure wouldn't. So I don't know. That's my argument that they may not come back. But the argument that they will is that it's just too lucrative for the ones at the top. And it also means the Democrats. The Democrats will do whatever they can to fund this. They'll find a way. They'll find some loophole. They'll go through some type of hoops to make sure that there is at least a symbolic version of Black Lives Matter still around. Like, they need Black Lives Matter. They're gonna need to push the race issue in 2024, especially if the election seems like it's gonna be close. If the Democrats feel like there's a good chance they're gonna lose, they're going to need to push the race thing. If anyone doesn't see this by now, you're blind. I was literally talking to someone the other day about this who was a lib, and I'm like, bro, there is no way you do not see that the Democrats use Black people. I mean, I'm making really good points. I mean, you look at Kamala Harris, I always talk about her because I'm like, you look at her record as Attorney General, and then the one she tried to play up when she was running for president. It was an absolute joke. There was a reason why Kamala Harris was polling at like 2% when she was running for president. And then all of a sudden Biden taps her because he says that she's Black and she's a symbol for Black America. And then all of a sudden Black people are lining up behind her as if they forgot the whole reason why they didn't support her in the first place. It trips me out. It really does. I'm like, you guys didn't support her in the first place because you guys were trashing her record in California and saying that you didn't feel like she would have been the best president regardless of the fact that she's trying to pass as Black or whatever Then all of a sudden Biden taps her as VP and all of a sudden we accept Kamala Harris. It is the wildest thing. She goes and she does a couple dances with some Black kids. She goes to Howard and her Chucks and Pearls and she hypes up her time there and everything's forgiven now. Oh, we forgive her. She has on Chucks and she has pearls and she's in AKA and she went to Howard. We love her. It's sick, man. It really is. And it's a shame because I see the truth and I was once there. Where people were pandering to me, and I looked at that as, oh, they care about me. I took their pandering as acceptance of like they have a heart for me. They care about me. They care about the black community. They care about my family. I let it win me over, without ever looking deeper into individual issues that actually affect me and affect my family. And I know exactly what people are doing right now, which is why Blexit is working so hard to wake people up. If you guys don't know, Blexit is now merged with Turning Point USA, which, you know, really quickly, I want to share about that. Like, that's been a blessing. I'll be honest with you all. When we first merged, had no idea what to expect. I've been with Blexit since essentially the beginning. I was employee number one. Blexit, and I say that humbly, guys. I say that as like I wear that as a badge, but I also wear that as a responsibility. The first employee that Blexit ever had, the first person that Candace and Brandon ever hired, I wear that with responsibility. Like, I am going to protect Blexit. I need to ensure that Blexit remains Blexit, right? That we don't ever lose sight of what Blexit is and what we were formed to be. So Blexit is the antidote to BLM. It always has been. And the one thing about Blexit is that we are unafraid to call out whatever and whoever needs to be called out. Candace and Brandon founded Blexit by being fearless. Like, imagine like creating Blexit in the beginning. And the world that we were in, where Black conservatives were, let's be honest, they were a thing, but they weren't really a sing-sing. Like, they weren't really as prevalent as they are today. At least they were more closeted. Like, Black conservatives were, like, closeted. You know what I mean? You had your influential ones, no doubt, your trailblazers. But the movement we have now was not there. So they were bold. And then me, when I founded the chapters, when I took this to the grassroots level, and I started to spread this message in what I feel like was needed in the local communities directly and the places that are the hardest hit by the left, it was done off of fearless. I had to be fearless. I knew when I got into this battle, I knew that I had to put on my armor of God. There was no way this was for the weak. If you're going to be weak, you can't be it. This is not the fight for you. If you're going to be in this fight, you have to be willing to put on the armor of God and be in this fight. So, you know, going back to what I originally said, joining with Turning Point, I feel like this is two powerhouses that came together. I was worried at first, right? I've kind of been so closely associated and been a part of the Turning Point family for years. So it wasn't so much of joining Turning Point, right? I've been an ambassador for Turning Point. I've done speeches for Turning Point. I have a lot of friends and great people I know in Turning Point. I believe in Turning Point's mission. I believe in Turning Point's culture. I believe in Charlie Kirk and what he's done. I believe in Turning Point. Very easy, very, very easy sell to me. Love Turning Point. What I was concerned about, though, was that Blexit does have a unique mission. We're doing something that I feel like is very unique in the conservative movement. We actually have made inroads in minority America, real concrete inroads in minority America. You look at our leadership team, we're comprised of 160 plus leaders, over 14,000 members. More than 80%, I'm willing to say 80 to 90% of our leadership team are Black. Or Hispanic, but again, majority Black. We welcome everyone. I want to put that out there. We're not just saying we only want Black people. We want everybody to join this movement. I'm saying that though because everyone know whether you're white, Black, or you're Asian, or you're Hispanic, whatever you know you are as a conservative, you know that Black America is difficult to reach. It is hard. It is not easy. It is tough. Okay, if it was easy, you wouldn't have 90% of them voting for the liberals. All right, it is hard. Hard work. And for us to have those numbers to me is incredible because we are making inroads. And the thing is, we have these numbers with newer Black conservatives. These are not your old school. We have some veterans. We have some veterans, but a lot of people who are leading our states, who are active, have joined recently, within like the last year or two. They've recently joined. And that makes me proud. They've recently discovered their conservativeness, their conservative values, right? I always tell people, they're like, oh, when did you become a conservative? I'm like, I always have been a conservative. I didn't know it. I realized I was conservative, and I'll go through that story. I'll begin to tell them that story. I never say I became a conservative because I realized I always was one. When I got red-pilled, I realized I always was a conservative. I was just thinking about things the wrong way. So that's the case with so many people who have joined Blexit, and Blexit is bold. We're a movement of love. But love is truth. Truth is love. We believe that we love you by telling the truth. We're not soft teddy bears. We're not here to just tell you what you want to hear. We're not here to just hug you and kiss you all day long. No, we're here to tell you the truth, the stone cold truth. All right. And then we're going to tell you how to get out of it. And we're going to tell you how to take responsibility for your life. We're going to help you stand on your own feet. All right. That's what we're going to do. We're not here to just hug you 24/7. We're going to pray with you, but we're also going to tell you to wake up. We are bold. We know that this fight is not easy, but we know this fight is worth it. And that's the key. So Blexit is the antidote to BLM. Blexit is the brand of Turning Point, Turning Point's organization. So if you want to support Blexit, you need to support Turning Point. And I'm sharing that because I've gotten a lot of messages from different people who have asked me, how do you feel about this, Pierre? I want to know your opinion. I'm sharing it now. I've shared this with all of you guys who have talked to me, but I wanted to take this opportunity on my show to also share it. Supporting Blexit is supporting Turning Point. Turning Point is in this fight with us. Charlie Kirk believes in this mission. We are one family. Together, we are going to change this country for the better. So, you know, I want to be very clear that if you don't want to see BLM rise, or you want to see BLM stop in their tracks, we have to start investing, not just money. Yes, donate. Please donate. Go to tpsa.com. Donate. Please donate. Because obviously nonprofits are funded by you, the people. However, it's not even just about donating. It is also about your time and your effort. Get involved. Don't get off your couch. Get off of your couch, okay? And get active. Stop watching Fox News and all these other channels and just complaining and being upset and then going about your day. Do something about it. Get involved. Get involved. All right. That's the key thing. So you can actually go to blexit.com/join-a-chapter to get involved with our chapters. Again, you can go to tpsa.com. I mean, there's and learn and click the Blexit tab, learn more about Blexit, but get involved in what we're doing, get involved with TPSA as a whole, be active and do something about it. All right. That's the key critical thing. And I'm going to wrap with this piece. So about what happened to BLM. BLM is not a real organization and a real movement. By all intents and purposes, again, they filed with the IRS and they're like, Pierre, they are real. I see their tax ID and all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the legalities and everything else they did to make sure that they were recognized as an organization. I'm talking about the actual heart and soul of that movement. It is fake. And in the words of Trump, it's fake news. It's not real. They never were real. They're not making a real impact. And nothing against the chapters per se. I do have something against the chapters, but when it comes to the actual chapters, part of maybe the work that they were trying to do couldn't get done because of the national organization for whatever reason why they didn't get work done in the community. Blexit has reached out to BLM across the country consistently. And it's not just that they don't want to work with us. It's just that they are inactive or they don't really have funds or whatever. I don't know. It's always some reason for an excuse. Okay. There is no way that anyone can tell me that they are actually making a real concrete grassroots impact, because they are not. What they are doing is they're getting favorable media coverage, which has led to the perception that they've made a bigger impact than they've actually made. Because liberals and different people are bending to Black Lives Matter and makes it look like they're having this huge impact. But really, they're soft and they haven't done anything. They haven't done anything besides complain. And then they just got lucky because people in power have listened. But that is not the truth of making, that's not really making good impact, because they don't really have an end game with this. They don't. They don't have a real end game. Their website, I don't care about what their website says. I don't care about what their leaders are saying when they speak. They don't actually have it in game. They are here. Their leaders are here to get fame, celebrity, make their dollars, and be like Patrice Cullors and go buy their houses and get out of Dodge. That's what they're doing. So if you want to support a real organization that's making a real impact for the better, not just because BLM didn't do anything, but also because the values that BLM is actually putting out there is toxic, it's destructive, and it's not fit for Black America. It's not fit for America at all. But we all know the destruction of nuclear family is not a good thing for Black America. Black America needs a mom and dad in the home. They need a family. They need a strong family. And they need parents who are getting married, kids who are staying, parents who are loving each other, getting through things, working things out when there are problems, teaching them what life is really like, teaching them self-responsibility, self-accountability, not government dependence. They need strong nuclear families. So BLM is not the answer, even if they were active. So get involved. TPSA.com. Or blexit.com/jointhecaptor. Join us. And then last thing, join us in New York. We're coming to Brooklyn, New York, 617. We will be in Brooklyn, New York for our next stop on our liberation tour. Come on out. We got some great speakers. We have speakers coming in from all across the country. If you need to hear more or you want to learn more about that, again, visit blexit.com. And then learn more about our live shows. Just click the live show section. You'll see some of the incredible speakers we have lined up for you. And then also one critical key thing that I do not want to miss is that we're going back to old school Blexit, the Blexit that speaks truth to power. Okay. We are going to be having a friendly discussion. I'm going to say friendly. I was talking to Brandon about this the other day. He's excited. He's hyped. A friendly discussion between conservatives and liberals, Black conservatives and Black liberals. You do not want to miss this. This is going to be good. So make sure you come. Brooklyn, New York, June 17th. Doors open at 3 p.m. Show starts at 4. You do not want to miss it. Registration is free. All right. So blexit.com. Click live events. Be there. Till next time.